dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on just another day not fit for man nor beast. And we expect to have a really good show for you today. I know a lot of you are sitting at home and enjoying another day off. If you're a student, if you're a teacher. Now, not everybody, because people just can't handle it more than 12 hours cooped up. Yesterday killed people. Today, they're just flipping out. People driving around just to see how bad the roads are. They're still not, doing a great job, at least here in Kearney, getting the snow routes and all that open. The side roads, you better have a big boy vehicle if you're going to get around. And that's where we start the show today, because Mark Bauer, UNK wrestling coach, scheduled to join us. Bob Jensen, Husker Land Prep, to talk about the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame is going to join us. And also Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World Herald is going to join us. It's always interesting talking to Dirk because he's got a few more opinions than just the actual news. We'll get into what happened in the tunnel after the Big 12 game and now where he thinks Nebraska is. Daddy, the last few guests we've had on believe Sean Watson will be back next year. It'll be interesting to get Dirk's take on whether he'll be back, and obviously I'm sure he doesn't want him to be. So we'll talk to Dirk Chatlin as well on the program today. But first, people always think, it's another day, snow day, blah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. See, these are the worst days for guys like me, for guys like Mike and Brad and the gang over in Hastings, for all radio guys. These are the worst. Because we are the ones telling you who's not going to school, what plant is closed, what's going on with the roads. And with this computer age, I guess maybe it's not as bad as it used to be because folks can get on the computer. I suppose it's just as bad, except folks have more options. You can go to ESPNSuperstation.com, see all the closings, the late starts, all things like that, brought to you by Fidelki. And everybody has something like that going on. So we have to get up and come in anyway.
It's not an option to stay home.
I was in good shape. Yeah, it's part of our bonus time here. I was in good shape I got up. Luckily, got the car in the garage, but that just means there's a driveway to scoop. And how it drifts in the middle, usually being a country boy, you think, okay, there's the shelter belt, there's where the drifts are. There's really nothing around, and it's just kind of mounded up there in my driveway. And not because the neighbor hates me and scoops it over there. They just don't know me well enough yet. Anyway, so I scoop all that out, and then, of course, one of the trucks came through and had done a little bit of the road, so then you got to scoop the higher parts out from your driveway. And mind you, it's 5:30 in the morning, which is also pleasant, 20 below wind chill. And this is not just me. It's anybody that had to get out and go today. But if you weren't up at 5:30 this morning, like I know you weren't, I'm just explaining to you what the conditions were like. So I get out. Oh, I'm in good shape. The road's cleaned out. All right. Up to the top of the hill. Uh-oh. Maintainer had come by, which is great. Cleaning off a main thoroughfare here in town. I saw a couple of truck tracks.
Thoroughfare?
I saw a couple of, like usual. I've been through this situation a ton of times. You don't know how deep it is, but people have been through it, so here we go. And I'm smart enough to know you don't creep up on it and go. So, all right, here we go. Let's juice the old Grand Am, and here we go.
Now, is it tough to see around the corner? So you weren't worried about cars when you gave her a little gas?
No, I wasn't worried about cars when I gave her a little gas.
Okay.
Probably should have been. You get to the top of the hill, you're going to be able to stop. It's not like you're going down a hill
right, or
a straight through where you're going to slide through. You're at the top. Well, that's where I met my demise. I got to the top, literally could have got, when I got out of my car, as you know where this story's going, I took like 5 feet, I couldn't have walked 2 feet, and I'm on a totally clean road. But it was that 5 feet.
That you're all high-centered underneath.
I'm high-centered like a SOB right there. It's not good. And yeah, you can take it out. Thankfully, somebody stopped almost immediately, a lot smarter than me in a truck. I don't have a truck. I got a car. Again, I'm in radio. I figure, yeah, I got a tow hook underneath. Can't find it after we dig out about 700 feet of snow. And I thought my car was better than just plastic underneath. I'm going to have to check that out now that it's melted. But do you think we could find anything we weren't worried about ripping an axle off of? Another guy stops. We eventually get it pretty much dug out, shoved on its way 20 minutes later. So, I don't know who the guys are. We're all bundled up. Maybe I know who the guys are. It's just that when you got seven hats on and five stocking caps and seven coats, and thank God we're all bundled up well. So whoever those guys were, thank you to them around 17th Street at about 6 o'clock when we got out of there this morning. And then I got to come to work. Woohoo! That was awesome.
That's how the day began.
Yes. That was great.
And then it just got better from there.
Oh, how couldn't it? Then I got to work and was faced with the same situation again. Because the north-souths aren't plowed out over here. And the driveways, or the parking lot here, it's drifted up in the alleyway. Totally clear if you could get through that in the parking lot, because the boys had come and taken care of that. But it was just impossible. I mean, there was no way. There was no way. So I snuck it in somewhere close to here and walked to work through the drifts. Which isn't bad if it's a beautiful morning, it's 15 degrees and the wind ain't blowing. But when it's 3 below and the wind's howling, and you do have to go through the 8-foot drift, and then the snow gets into your boot, very, very uncomfortable.
Now, getting up at that hour, do we have a snowfall total?
You know, that's another thing. See, we being small towners, and here I don't think people that lived in Omaha, maybe even in Kearney their whole lives, don't care. They've been in town the whole time. Yeah, 8 inches. Yeah, 12 inches, 2 inches. How much rain we get last night? Don't know. Nobody knows that anymore. No, we don't give it on the radio anymore. Nobody knows. Airport used to be every morning. Bam. That's, we had an inch 40 here. Oh, inch 40. We had 240 at my house, and I'm only 2 blocks away. That was a small town thing. That's a towny thing.
Yeah.
Right there. I don't know the official. What would you guess? 12? They're saying last night on our friends MTV and Channel 5, at 6:30, we had 9 inches. I said, my ass, we already got 9 inches.
What?
So whatever happened after that, I'm guessing a foot. I'm guessing a foot. This is a pretty good chunk we got out there. Maybe more. This is a pretty good chunk of snow.
Okay, see, I was going to say 10 inches. But
In fact, I realized it was a foot because if you stacked four of these snows on top of each other right next to Mark Bauer, they'd be the same height. Same height. Mark Bauer joins us this morning. Morning, Coach.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, I've survived getting stuck this morning, so I don't know how much of that story you caught.
That's good news. My wife didn't make it into town, so she had to have her dad come dig her out.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. But as we all know, if we don't have anything worse coming on, then we should be good to go. Maybe tomorrow everybody's back in school, and I'm sure we're probably ready to go with whatever's going on with our Saturday UNK Loper activities. And that's why we've got you to talk to us here. First chance to talk about your wrestling team of 2009. You've already got a couple of meets under your belt. You've got the Wrestler of the Week in the conference. Well, let's start with what you've done so far. Tell us a little bit about where you've been so far with the program this year.
Well, the first second weekend of November, we went out to Wyoming and, you know, kind of got off to a fairly good start. And we'd already had some injuries up to that point, and so we kind of had a few setbacks with some of our upperclassmen. The following weekend, we went over to UNO at the Kauffman Brand Open. You know, it's an enormous tournament, one of those tournaments you don't really judge your season by, but we had a fairly good showing again there. Thanksgiving break, we're off. Back last week for the Hayes Open down in Hayes, Kansas, and you know, I felt like our guys wrestled well. We got some of our injured guys back in there, got them a couple matches. A lot of people have been asking, you know, how come you had so many guys default out of the tournament? Well, some of these guys were already injured, and we decided just to get some mat time under their belt and get them out of there so we didn't overdo it. Marty Usman, our 174-pounder, kind of hurt his rib in his second match, got him to the finals and decided, you know what, it's not worth it. Let's just hold him out. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We're getting some pieces back into place, and just in time for the UNK Open. Of course, everybody's kind of worried that the snow's going to be too deep and nobody's going to make it, so I'm already getting phone calls this morning. But I'm like, you know what? I see the sun. It's beautiful. There are drifts of snow in my driveway, but I think it'll be clear by the time Saturday rolls around.
Mark, how close is this team right now to the team that you'll have after the first of the year? It always seems there's some changes with eligibility and things that happen to your team.
Yeah, you know, it's fairly close. Joey Morrison, our 133-pounder, who was an All-American last year, is one of those kids that's in a situation where he had 1 year left, but he had two championship seasons. So this year and last year, we had to do the part-time, full-time thing to keep his eligibility for second semester. So, you know, he's a ref in one of the open tournaments, but we look to have him, you know, back as soon as the semester is over. Then Marty Usman, kind of an unusual situation with him. He actually changed his major last spring. And the problem with that was he was 3 hours short of being eligible. So basically all he has to do is stay on top of his classwork, which he's doing a great job, and we'll have him back in our lineup. But, you know, we're pretty close, obviously. We've had a little bit of a setback. Ryan Etherton, our 157-pounder, is a two-time All-American, hung it up. And that's really kind of affected us a little bit. But at the same token, you know, if a kid's heart's not in it and they're not wanting to do it, you know, it's like dragging a dead horse to water. It's just not possible. And so we're going to move on. We've got a couple young freshmen there. They're going to have to step in and do a nice job for us. Hopefully they'll do a nice job for us. But it is a tough weight nationally. So at least we got somebody. Let's put it that way. So we have had a little bit of a setback there. But we're looking forward to, obviously, what's to come.
UNK wrestling coach Mark Bauer is joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show every Wednesday. We have a guest from UNK to talk to us on Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, we have the loans. And the College Store, great selection of Loper gear at thecollegestore.com. Mark, is this one of the reasons you've slid in the rankings? I don't remember the last time I saw the UNK Lopers outside the top five of the nation, but that's where you are. You weren't predicted to win the conference. Are these some of the reasons why, or are there some other reasons?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. The rankings, when they first came out, we had five guys ranked. Second rankings came out, the same five guys were ranked, and we slid from fourth to eighth. And so I'm not really sure. The only thing I do know is that the preseason ranking is more of a tournament ranking. They want to say, okay, this is where we think the teams are going to at the end of the year. They've now, in Division II, have kind of changed that this ranking that they posted this last time, which they don't publicize, is more of a dual ranking. And the reason it's more of a dual ranking right now is because when we come back from Christmas break, second week of January is the National Dual Tournament. And those rankings will determine the seeds at that tournament. And so really what we're looking at right now, the difference between the fourth and the eighth, is the fact that they're looking at us as a dual team. Marty Usman's still not in there. T.J. Hepburn, who just dominated this weight class last weekend, that had the number one ranked guy in the nation in it, he actually didn't even make it to the finals. He's not even ranked yet. And so we've got, you know, a couple kids that we feel like will be ranked eventually. Our goal right now is between now and second week of January, we want to sneak up into that third or fourth, somewhere in that area, so that I can try to get opposite side of the bracket of UNO. That's our goal.
Mark, I guess when you look at this team, is this a team that makes a run at a national title?
Yes, definitely. We've got, right now, just looking at our lineup, I feel like we've got three, maybe four guys that could get to the finals of the national tournament. That's a lot of points. And obviously, we've got to have some other young men do their part like they always have in the past, and we have the capabilities. Right now, just looking at our lineup, our biggest, you know, thing that's hurting us right now is 157. You know, we're gonna have a couple freshmen there holding that spot down, and that's gonna be tough. But other than that, we've got talented kids all up and down the lineup. We've got a group of nine guys that I can tell you that could be All-Americans this year. If that happens, yeah, we'll be in the thick of things when it comes March.
Mark, I want to ask you about these open tournaments, and maybe you can shed some light on this, because I think going to redshirt a year of football and practice all the time and not get to play football, that would drive me nuts. Well, wrestling's a little bit different. Some of the Division I kids that are redshirted, they will come wrestle, they get a chance to wrestle, and don't have to sit out that full year and do nothing but practice.
Yeah, it's an advantage we have, and there's actually been quite a bit of talk about it in the NCAA, you know, that it's not really fair that they get the opportunity to do that. But it's just kind of the nature of the beast, and it's just something that we're able to do. You know, if they took that away from us, we would not be able to have open tournaments because, you know, more than half of the kids wrestling at those open tournaments, they are kids that are redshirting. And we look at it as a developmental year. It's an opportunity not just to fill the length of the season, because the length of the season in college is much different than the length of the season in high school. We want them to feel the length of that season because we start lifting and conditioning first week of school, and we don't wrap things up till the second week of March. Whereas high school, they start late November and get done, you know, late February. And so it's a lot longer season. In addition to that, yeah, the mat time, that's huge. What, you know, that is great experience. We've had kids rack up 40 plus matches as a red shirt. And it is going like a, through a whole season. The biggest and most difficult thing is they don't really have a goal to shoot for at the end of the season. You know, in high school, you're shooting to become a state champion. In college, you're shooting to become an All-American or a national champion. And you're aiming for the end of the next season. It's very difficult for those kids to keep focused when they redshirt. And that's why there are some schools that absolutely refuse to redshirt their kids. I think it's one way kids get lost sometimes. They lose focus, their grades slip, you know, they don't organize themselves, they don't keep, you know, stay up on things, and things start slipping, and before you know it, they disappear. So it is a little bit of a challenge, even though there are some benefits to it.
Mark Bauer with us for another minute, the head wrestling coach at UNK. Well, after the open this Saturday, then it gets a little exciting. You travel to Lincoln for your duel with Nebraska and Central Michigan. Your thought, I mean, this is always fun. It's a lot more fun when you can be competitive. So going by what you said, can you be competitive and compete with these two duels?
You know, it's going to be tough. They're, I believe, preseason ranked respectively 7th and 5th. Central Michigan, I think, is ranked 7th, and Nebraska's ranked 5th. They're loaded. And our only hope right now is that we can just go in and give them a good match. We want to go in and battle with those guys. And the thing that's the most exciting about it is just a great experience. It's a great opportunity for kids to go in, compete at Division I school, which you know, a lot of non-Division I schools don't get that opportunity. And so it is a great experience for us. But, yeah, our goal, we want to go in and be as competitive as we possibly can be. The great thing is, and we got to kind of make sure we're focused on this, but Joey Morrison and Marty Usman, they'll be able to wrestle in that duel because the last day of school this semester is the 18th. And as long as their grades are posted and we get them certified, they'll be actually wrestling in those duels. So we do need their help, and we want them in there. Obviously, they're seniors, and we want that experience for them.
Mark Bauer, head wrestling coach at UNK. Mark, don't strain anything getting out of your driveway today, and we're going to send everybody to the open on Saturday. As always, great to catch up with you, buddy.
That would be great, and I appreciate you guys having me on this morning. You have a great day.
Take care. Mark Maurer, again, just another one of the fine coaches that we have in the area, and he is the head wrestling coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. Part of our Loper Link, brought to you every Wednesday by the College Store, 1420 West 24th, and they've got your textbooks, the cheapest textbooks. They guarantee it as you get ready for second semester. They guarantee it, and of course, probably got to get rid of a few, too. Ask the manager for details, or you can shop online at thecollegestore.com, thecollegestore.com, or it's located at 1420 West 24th, right across from UNK's Health and Sports Center, and brought to you by Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank of Kearney, where they offer all types of loans, from new construction, home, commercial, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. And this isn't all the UNK news. We went through a little bit of it yesterday, Tony. Again, Bob Crocker up for Assistant Coach of the Year. Yeah. Go to Lopers.com for more information. You can help vote for the coach. Monday they announced the winner between Coach Crocker, Central Washington's Joe Lorig, and Arkansas Tech's Scott Preston.
Yeah, already down to three coaches. That's the exciting part. You know, sometimes these award lists come out. Well, you're one of 12 or you're one of 14. No, there's down to three people. So I think an award very well deserved.
So congratulations there. And also to Jack Hyatt, as we told you yesterday, All-American, picking up some honors that very few Lopers have done in the past, and the first to do so since Richie Ross was roaming the sidelines for UNK.
I'm looking at the other linemen on this list, Doug. Jack Hyatt, 50 pounds less than anyone else. 310, well, 51, excuse me. 46, excuse me, because 310, 301, 321, 305, 255. Jack Hyatt.
It's the power of the package.
You know, he shouldn't even that high. He's just a, I'm a man on the back of my jersey.
Let's take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. Talk a little bit about high school activities, including the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame, and Dirk Chatelain to talk Husker football and the Big 12 from the Omaha World Herald. We're back after this.
What is a reverse mortgage? How does it differ from a home equity line? What are the advantages? These are just a few of the many frequent questions asked about reverse mortgages. Hi, this is Russ Smith with CharterWest National Bank. You have questions, we have answers on reverse mortgages. How do you qualify? Is there an age requirement? See us to start a reverse mortgage. You have your reasons, we have your loans at CharterWest National Bank, 4511 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
The power of the eagle. National Bank.
Has the value of your investment portfolio declined? Of course it has. Are you nervous or concerned about your portfolio and your current advisor relationship? Of course you are. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. It's time for an unbiased second opinion. Hi, I'm Matt Westfall with Centerpoint Wealth Management in Grand Island. At Centerpoint Wealth, we use three independent resources to analyze your holdings. We evaluate performance, annual cost, company overlap, and standard deviation. If you've reached the enough is enough stage, it's time. It's time for a serious critique. Bring us your statements and we'll deliver an analysis that you can use right now. Call 398-1174 or visit our website at centerpointwealth.com. That's CENTRE.wealth.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. CenterPoint Wealth Management and Securities America companies are not affiliated.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
Thursday night, it's an AFC North matchup in Cleveland when the Browns host division rival Pittsburgh. Hi, this is Ian Eagle. Join Randy Cross, Laura Oakman, and me for all the action live from Brown Stadium. The Steelers are stumbling and need to stop their four-game losing streak to have any shot at the playoffs. Can Cleveland spoil the Steelers' season, or will Mike Tomlin's squad steady the ship? If it's Thursday night football, it's right here.
The Steelers and Browns, Thursday night on ESPN Radio.
A wind chill advisory remains in effect for the area early on yet today. Otherwise, look for partly sunny skies to develop with a high temperature around 8 degrees. Winds out of the northwest will stay at around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll drop back to around 10 below. I'm Paul Trombley.
Right now, 2 below.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Good to have everybody along with us on the program today, including Bob Jensen. Bob, did it snow in Central City?
You know, it did. We got a dusting. It's kind of like the dust at my house. It turned out to be 9 inches deep, but it was a dusting.
How'd you measure that?
Barely. That's how I did that. Okay. We're all in the same boat winter's back.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joining us. Robert, we're going to talk Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame, and you're with us most Wednesdays, playoff time throughout the year. As we said, we always enjoy that. Before we get to that, though, the website is up, and I don't know if enough people know about it. You always have something new every day, a couple times a day. Tell us a little bit about the website, how to get signed up if they want to keep track of the basketball season and all that's going on throughout the season on Huskerland Prep.
Well, okay. Well, our website is huskerlandpreps.rivals.com. If a person goes into their search and types in Huskerland Prep or Huskerland, you're going to find it. It's Well, the Rivals.com network, the big boys are the ones that do all the college recruiting information, and ours is designed to follow the high school sports. We follow football, boys and girls basketball. And right now what we got up on the site is a little ditty that I just didn't have time to get up any sooner. The snowstorm actually bought me some time. something called the Super 60, and it's designed for us to rank the top 10 players in each class, both boys and girls, kind of preseason look at things. And I will get a kick out of that. It's a good chance to get a bunch of kids' names on the web and fact or fiction. It is a list, and people do enjoy lists, and so that's what we got going now. And once we're also just putting the finishing touches on our Huskerland print final edition with our All-State teams and all that, and when that gets out the door on Friday, then there'll be full bore basketball all the time. We'd like to do a lot of interviews with kids. I'm not just written interviews, but also do some audio interviews. They're like radio interviews. And all I can say is, man, as you know, Duda, there's nothing like talking to a kid. we'll just leave it at that.
Sometimes those print interviews turn out a lot better. You're right.
They do.
My favorite part. Yeah, I think my favorite part, because it's predictable that whoever wins state gets the coach of the year, Bob. But I love the Diamond in the Rough segment. I love the Diamond in the Rough segment. Do I get that again this year?
Yes, you do. The Diamond in the Rough. And then something we started doing, it's interesting you say that, because, frankly, I kind of fell into that myself a little bit, and I didn't like it very much when it comes to naming the quote-unquote coach of the year. What we do in football specifically is we name we honor the championship coaches. But then we also have a second award. It's called the Mike Behrens Coaching Award. And Mike Behrens is the head coach at Roncalli. And Daddy would be able to remember the time that McCook went into the state finals and played Roncalli for the Class B championship, when Mike Behrens had 28 guys on his team. And they got beat. They got beat 21-0 in the finals in a game that was actually closer than that. That was one where McCook ran the fake field goal right before half and scored, went up two, and that was kind of the end of the game. But the point is that I really admired what Mike did. And that year, he was not our coach of the year. And that stuck with me. That stuck with me for several years, frankly. And then finally last year, I couldn't take it no more. We established this other award. And to be honest, there are some champion coaches that do deserve to be the coach of the year. But there's a whole bunch of guys out there that do really great jobs, you know, elevating their program, you know, having that special season, that sort of year. And we use that as a chance to honor those people. And that's a lot of fun. I'm like you. I like the Diamond in the Rough. Those are kids that, frankly, we think are underreported, maybe undernoticed, but, you know, quality kids. They're not necessarily the best player in the class or somebody that's completely getting a shaft somewhere else. But they're people that we're able to kind of bring in the spotlight, and I kind of get a kick out of that.
All state punters, for instance, like, you're really good players. But Bob, it's unprecedented what you do for the high school kids out there. Following this up, you're involved with the High School Hall of Fame, and you've knocked some people out of the way to get your way to the top once again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a string of bloodied bodies between me and the throne, no doubt about it.
Had to actually, wait for there to be a building.
It's like everything else you can buy your way on, boys. But the point is, I did Ray Ehlers, a good friend and certainly one of the great advocates for high school sports in our state, and one of the original board members at the Hall of Fame, actually asked me to consider serving 4 or 5 years ago. And once I realized that he was talking about serving on the Hall of Fame board, I said yes. I am a board member. There are 33 members of the board of directors for the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame Foundation. And our mission is to honor the past to inspire the future. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that have done a lot of great things for high school sports over the course of time. Every year we have a chance to honor a new group of them with our inductions that are held in September. But there's a whole lot more going on with the Hall of Fame right now than just our induction ceremony.
And fill us in, because I was talking, Buck Mahoney's also on the board. He was telling me that it's not too far around the corner when the nominations, you guys get together to look at the nominations for the upcoming year. What is going on with the Hall?
Yeah, we have a selection committee, Duda. I am not on that. I am quote unquote part of the publicity committee. But the selection committee is currently reviewing nominations. And something that's important to remember, and I probably do fall in the category of people who say that, you know, when you honor 12 and 15 people a year, man, that seems like a lot. But you've got to remember the thousands of players, coaches, and contributors that have been part of the high school sports scene since its inception. And then right now, the guy who's the head of the selection committee, a familiar name to a lot of people, a man by the name of Randy Cordes, who was a longtime coach and administrator there at York. He's in charge of that. And Randy told me a couple of years ago that at that point, and that was about a year ago, there were right at 800 names that were in the hopper for consideration for selection. And from that list, our selection committee calls it down, a more workable number of, somewhere around 15, maybe 15 and change every year. And again, there are coaches honored, there are players honored, there are contributors honored. We have a couple special awards, a couple of things that have really become popular. We honor silver and golden anniversary teams. And, the great thing about that, all of these people, there's some years in the rearview mirror, frankly, where they've got a chance to, be reminded of how great they once were. the wheels of...
Tony reminds me of that every other day.
Yeah, no. This isn't like Tony looking in the mirror. Okay, this is something you gotta, and really those guys are always so happy. They're so pleased to be a part of it, and the turnout at our induction ceremony where these guys are honored is always incredible. In fact, probably the high water mark happened during my time. The Hall of Fame board, by the way, has been in place since the early '90s, but just a couple years ago, the Arcadia football and boys basketball teams were our 50-year, our golden anniversary honoree, and they had over 100 people in attendance. And I think I have this right when I say that one of the gentlemen that was part of that actually bought rings for all the people on the team that were honored by the Hall of Fame. I mean, that kind of thing is just priceless. But our board meets four times a year. We are currently conducting a major fundraising drive, and what we have is the Hall of Fame will eventually physically be in the building that was built by the Nebraska Schools Activity Association in Lincoln here a couple of years ago. There is a spot put aside, and we are currently paying rent on a spot that's not being used in the NSAA building where we will have our physical Hall of Fame. We are still in the process of raising money. People have got a chance to go to the website to download forms if they'd like. The Nebraska State Hall of Fame, you can search for that, it'll take you right to our front page. The guy that runs our website is one of the legends in Nebraska sports writing. People that are a little bit older will remember Condi Sargent. Condi is actually living in South Carolina, but still that he runs the site from down there. That's a just a great job. There's a whole bunch of stuff, including all the people who have ever been selected for Hall of Fame induction. And, it keeps people up to date on the progress that we're making. And one of the things that we did, the people there in Kearney, there's a lot of folks that know Dick Beechner, who is, I have told him and I've told many people that probably the best thing that happened to me in the time that I've served on the board is getting to know Dick Beechner. I do get a little tired of hearing about Hiram Scott, Dick. I know you're listening, but if that's what makes you happy, it makes me happy. But Dick has resigned as our director. In fact, we announced a new director, a man by the name of Randy Bates, who has recently retired from being the AD at Norris. And Randy's a real well-known figure in the state of Nebraska. He's going to do an outstanding job. He takes over Dick's spot. Nobody can take Dick's place, but he will take Dick's job effective March 1st. And like I said, right now there's a lot of good things, and we've been able to honor hundreds of people since the Hall of Fame was initially started back in the early '90s. What we need now is people's help raising money to physically put this Hall of Fame together. We have a memorabilia committee that is accepting donations, either permanent donations or items that might be loaned for display. We have some, you know, we want to make this a real interactive, not a static Hall of Fame. And so we've got a lot of things that we want to do. But frankly, we're just not quite there yet. When it's all said and done, we'd like to raise at least $1.5 million. And of course, that's not chump change. We've raised a good deal of it.
I've bought my lottery ticket, Bob. I just want you to know I've bought my lottery ticket.
Well, you know, if I'm not mistaken, every board member's been hanging out at Pump and Pantry for the better part of the last 5 years, just hoping that one ticket comes true. But it is, you know, it's something that is going to be really great when we get it done. It's already a great organization, and there's a lot of people that are really deeply committed to making this thing work. And it is working. But what we need to do now is we need to step up and take that next step to give us an actual physical Hall of Fame where all of our people can be honored down there in Lincoln.
It is a great ceremony every September, and as Bob mentioned, you can go to the website, which has information on how to donate. It has the nomination form. It has the list of the inductees for everyone that's been in, the awards that they hand out, the great moments, everything you want to know. It's NEBHallOfFame.org, NEBHallOfFame.org. And if you get on the site, and I wanted to bring this up, I emailed Bob about this yesterday. If you get on the site, on the front page, there is a little YouTube video that Dick Janda did on the shot heard around the world, the 71 Class A state final. I had never seen the actual shot before until yesterday. It's a neat piece. You can probably YouTube Lincoln East and find it, but go to the Hall of Fame website. It's down in the corner, and watch it. It's a neat piece that I think Dick did back in 1980. Again, Ord, one of the unsung heroes in broadcasting. But nomination forms, it's getting close. If there's somebody from your community, if there's somebody, and I know this has been brought up before, if there's somebody from your school that doesn't exist anymore, there's a lot of small schools, obviously, just ask Josh Sheldon, that don't exist anymore. And there's maybe somebody that's being overlooked there that nobody's going to remember in 15, 30 years that deserves some recognition. Get the nomination in. It might not happen this year. It could happen in 3 or 4 years. You keep them on file. It's an easy process. It takes a little work to get somebody into the Hall of Fame like it should. But go to NEBHallOfFame.org for more information. And, Bob, I leave you with this. I saw the shot heard around the world yesterday. Somewhere, somehow, can somebody please hook me up with seeing the end of the Pius Wahoo boys basketball game? Was it 88 or 89?
I want to say that it was 88, but I could be wrong. All I know is that Jason Glock would be glad to tell you about it.
I don't think I've seen it. And we've talked about it before, that the guys at 10-11 believe that the tape has been lost, been Johnny Carsoned or recorded over. You know, back in the day, people just didn't. If it's out there, the Hall of Fame needs it. It's in my era. It's a shot heard around the world. It's something that needs to be in the Hall of Fame where people can watch it anytime they want. Bob, anything before we let you go?
Two things. I guess one of them is you talk about the nomination process, and it's something that people need to be vigilant about. If you've got somebody that you feel strongly about their nomination, don't settle for just the one-time nomination, because that's great. I mean, we need that. But and there are people who have organized, and I've been part of a couple of them, who have organized really neat campaigns to get that initial nomination, all the letters of support and this, that, and the other, and then it just sits there. And again, these nominations are reconsidered every year. And I know from speaking to members of the selection committee that it means a great deal to them when people are consistently active in their support for a nominee. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, should anybody want more information about the Hall of Fame, whether it be through nomination or maybe about making a donation to help make this this Hall of Fame of ours a reality, then call our toll-free number at our office in Central City, which is 800-323-3929. And I would be glad to put them in touch with the people they need to talk to, and we can take it from there.
Plus, you can order a gift subscription to the Husqvarna Prep.
Well, you could. You could multitask here. Lord knows our secretary is not doing a whole lot today anyway. Give her a buzz, shake her up a little bit. I think that might do Laura some good.
So, Bob, you're the best.
very good. Well, I appreciate the chance to, kind of get out and talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of people that are very passionate about high school sports in our state. They either represent not just our kids, but our schools and our communities. And this is a chance for everybody, whether it's with $5 or $5,000, to make a contribution to something that is going to be around forever. And so if you want to know more, you can either call me or go to our website.
He's very close to making it into the Arnold Hall of Fame. Bob Jensen joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob, it's always a pleasure. Happy holidays to you, buddy.
Yeah, same to you guys. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Bob Jensen, also with the Nebraska Hall of Fame, Huskerland Prep Report, and the Beacon.
There you go. I say it all the time.
Central City Nonpareil.
One of those players or people that stands out to me that's not in yet, Adam True. Great at Nebraska, played for the Oakland Raiders, not in the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame.
Well, get off your butt and nominate him again. I know you're swamped. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I stepped over the line. I'm sorry. A lot of folks out there are trying to trudge through the snow. Well, they have done it at the chicken coop. You got to eat. You've been out there scooping snow. You're hungry. You're thirsty. You want to relax and shoot some stories with your friends. Go to the chicken coop. Downtown Kearney and Grand Island, they are open today, folks. You can watch sports on TV because no matter what it is, they're open 7 days a week, whether it's basketball, the bowl games, Monday night football. They're there for you with great food and drink specials every night and lunch specials every day. From kickoff to close, they're there for you. At the Chicken Coop, on the bricks, downtown Kearney. Just that last set of bricks. The bricks kind of end once you get past the Chicken Coop. So that's like either the beginning or the end of the road. Chicken
Coop. We're just singing 5 days away from Monday Night Football and $2 You Call It.
That's right. Monday Night Football, $2 You Call It. And, of course, they're there for you today. At the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald, when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey. NFL fan, after rooting for the home team, you'll probably find yourself rooting around the kitchen for dinner options. Well, you can ignore the skimpy, unfilling diet dinners and forget those fatty, greasy man meals. Go for Campbell's Chunky Soup. Try Hearty Beef Barley. It's my favorite. Made with all lean meat and now with a full serving of vegetables. It's still filling and delicious, and now it's more nutritious. If only all rooting led to such happy results. Campbell's Chunky Soup. Satisfying and nutritious.
Rick Rickman is a certified process efficiency expert.
Now, my real name is Richard, but Rick is more efficient.
Rick spends his waking hours obsessively streamlining and simplifying just about everything, except for his TomTom GPS.
They covered it all, and it's driving me insane.
Yes, with just a few taps of the screen, Rick's easy-to-use TomTom can instantly find him the most efficient way to get anywhere at any time of day.
The best I could do was give it a nickname. I called mine Tom.
TomTom, go confidently.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
A wind chill advisory remains in effect for the area early on yet today. Otherwise, look for partly sunny skies to develop with a high temperature around 8 degrees. Winds out of the northwest will stay at around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll drop back to around 10 below. I'm Paul Trombley.
Right now, 2 below.
Oh, yeah. The president screwed him last week. He wasn't going to do it again this week. Charlie Brown Christmas was on last night, like the only benefit to all the snow last night. I didn't have basketball. Charlie Brown Christmas. There you go, buddy. And when we're thinking Christmas time, we're thinking Christmas gifts.
Ah, we're thinking Look What's Cooking, your kitchen accessory store located on the Bricks, 2110 Central Avenue. It's right between Hoover's Jewelers, Brown Shoefoot Company. Right between them, conveniently located for you. All the cookware you could ever need. All the specialty cookware you could ever need. You don't eat crab and lobster a lot, but you do at Christmas? Well, they got crab and lobster tools just for you. We're waiting for you at Look What's Cooking. Polish pottery, hand-painted stoneware, straight from, no, not Loop City, not Ord, Poland, people, all the way from freaking Poland. They got it there, 2110 Central Avenue, Wusthof Knives. People, you love the butcher blocks, you love the knives, the sharpest, best German-forged knives. They've got them all. Look What's Cooking, Mike, the wife. They're waiting for you right downtown, Kearney, whether you're looking to spend $10, whether you're looking to spend a bunch of money. They've got it all for you. They've got all the gadget section, 80-foot of wall, 80-foot of gadget section. They've got it all. When you're looking for spoons, spatulas, grilling supplies, thermometer, onion savers, linens, washcloths, cookware, strainers, it doesn't matter. They've got it all for you. Look What's Cooking, your kitchen accessory store.
Yeah, it might not be grilling time today or you know, going out and working, but, boy, they sure come in handy when it's time to, doesn't it?
Well, I'm thinking...
Great gifts.
You know what? Gosh, I'd like to have that stuff where they make the stir-fry in. Oh, they got the wok for you. The rest of the art of Eastern cooking, they got wok for you.
All the way back from the tunnels underneath Jerry's World in Dallas, Texas, Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World Herald joins us on the Duck and Daddy Show this morning. Dirk, good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Well... As usual, I'm concerned about Daddy, but what are you going to do? It's a daily occurrence around here. Dirk, before I forget, do you have a Heisman vote?
I do not.
If you did?
I think I'd go... I mean, Sue's number one. Probably Ingram number two. Garrett. Well, I don't know about Gerhardt. I haven't seen enough of him. Ingram number two you know, maybe McCoy number three.
You know, I was listening this morning to Cowherd, and they were just saying, just to be in, you know, just to be invited, and it dawned on me then, if it's such a novelty for a defensive player to be invited to the Heisman, that must just show you how absolutely incredibly good he is. And I think maybe that's the point people should have drove home. It's over now. I mean, your votes have to be in, but. That was the point that should have been drove home, so I guess we'll see. Sue is in Houston tonight for another award presentation, Lombardi Award, I believe it is. He's always ready, picked up one. And I know you haven't been around long enough to see every single Husker game in the past 50 years, Dirk, but I suppose that was probably one of the most dominating or the most dominating performance any of us have seen on Saturday night from him.
Well, it really sort of had it all. I mean, he did it individually and you know, he led them as a team, too. And, you know, I got to say, it caught me a little bit off guard. I mean, I knew he was dominant. I knew that Nebraska's defense was good. But they just took it up a level the other night. And it's the best defensive performance, you know, I think maybe I've ever seen. And I've heard a lot of other people say that, too. And to do it on that stage against that quarterback and that offense, you know, with the circumstances of the game where one mistake, you know, basically spelled doom for Nebraska. I mean, they just brought it every single play, and Sue was the guy, you know, leading the charge.
Dirk, must I say, excellent, excellent article. I know a lot of people enjoyed that today after the game. Where were you at during all the hoopla and the Pelini mental breakdowns and that?
Well, it was sort of an odd scenario because – typically what happens is, in the last 5 minutes of a game, people in the press box have to get down to the field, you know, sort of en route to the press conference. If they don't start moving with time still left on the clock, you might get stuck up there in the press box, you know, and not be able to get down because all the elevators are being used and all that. So that's a little background. So you're down there on the sideline there in the last couple minutes. Well, what they did at Cowboys Stadium the other night is they didn't let press members out on the out onto the sideline for the last few minutes of the game. So they were kind of, you know, shuffling everybody into the press room. Well, you know, some of us didn't take that very well and kind of found a way, you know, out there anyway. And what that did is there weren't very many of us there, and we were in the Nebraska tunnel. So when the Nebraska coaches are coming off and the players are coming off, I don't know if they didn't expect media to be there or what it was, but, you know, we're basically standing right outside the locker room. There's about, three or four of us. And you know, Bo and Carl just kind of lost it. And, you know, I don't completely blame them for that. But it was such an odd scene because Harvey Perlman's standing right there and Paul Myers is standing right there, and they're just all kind of, you know, they're kind of watching this. Crouch is there, and Tom Root is there, and, you know, Bo's just kind of coming out of the doors every 30 seconds and yelling something, and then he walks back inside, and then he comes back out, and he yells something else. And, I mean, he was totally blowing off steam, and he wanted answers.
Did he get them?
You know, I don't know. I watched him have a conversation with Dan Beebe, who's the Big 12 commissioner. After Bo's press conference, Beebe was there, and he and Beebe walked off to the side, and I was watching them have that discussion, and Bo was really giving it to him. And you could, you know, hear a couple curse words from 100 feet away. But, you know, Beebe came back from that conversation, and I talked to Beebe after that, and Beebe didn't sound all that concerned. I mean, he wasn't real flustered. I think Beebe was pretty confident that his officials had gotten the call right. I think, you know, it was just one of those opportunities where Bo needed to kind of vent to somebody.
Do you think he got the call right? Do you think they got the call right, Dirk?
Well, immediately, yeah, I do. There's some talk that maybe, you know, a second runs off the clock all the time when a pass is incomplete, you know, and they don't put it back on and all that stuff. Well, the last couple seconds of a game is treated differently.
Right, right. That's exactly what I thought. I said on the show Monday, I said, Husker fan, flip the page here. If it would have been you on the other side, you'd have been just screaming if they hadn't put that second back up.
Well, and take yourself back to the 94 Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
If they don't put the second back on the clock, I mean, Nebraska fans would have never forgiven officials for that. So, I think they got it right. I mean, there's a couple national officials, one in our paper today, who said that, you know, who just kind of reiterated that officials got it right. So I don't have a whole lot of doubt on that. I think when it's the end of a game like that, I think, you know, if there's a second on the clock, you've got to put it back on the clock. I mean, you can't have a clock keeper's error determine a game like that if it doesn't have to. So I think they did the right thing.
Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Dirk, I think it's safe to say you've been the most outspoken member of the media towards the offensive lack of production this year. Is that a title that you like?
No.
And I think you're the Rock because I think you're the people's champion.
Unfortunately, there's not like a yellow jersey that goes with it, like on the Tour de France or something like that. But, I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where I think they've got problems. I think they had problems, you know, in October, you know, after the Missouri game. I think that's when we first really saw it. And they've just kind of, there's two things that sort of would concern me as a Nebraska fan more than others. And one is the inability to identify what you do well and to maximize what you do well. And that goes back to fall camp and to spring ball and, you know, identifying talent and what can you do to move the ball. And, you know, I don't know why they thought that Zach Lee and these receivers could run a shotgun spread offense and, you know, and win in the Big 12. I mean, it has not proven to be true. And, you know, say what you want, but that's part of their job is to identify what their players can and can't do. That's the first thing that would bother me. The second thing that would bother me is this defense has shown unbelievable improvement and talent development individually in the last 2 years. I mean, if you ever doubted what coaching can do for football players, the last 2 years on defense should prove it to you. Well, at the same time, where is that individual talent development on offense? You're not seeing players get better. You're not seeing, guys jump into the program and, you know, start fast and get better. It's just, there's a huge chasm there between offensive development and defensive development from an individual standpoint, and that shouldn't be happening. I mean, all the other circumstances in the program are the same. I mean, you get the same facilities, the same strength and conditioning, and yet you've got half of the guys on the team who are really showing something, you know, throughout the course of the season, getting better. And the offense, they played their worst football at the end of the year, you know, against Colorado and Texas. So that's a serious problem.
Dirk Chatlin of the Omaha World-Herald joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Just a couple of minutes left before we get to the top of the hour. This bowl time is usually a time where you can use some development in those early practices to already look ahead to next year. And Tony's been bringing it up yesterday. Well, he's brought it up a lot, but we've talked a lot about it the last couple of days. His favorite question has been, will Sean Watson be back next year? Which so far unanimously has been yes. And then who's going to take the first snap under center for our first game next fall? What are your thoughts on that, Dirk?
You know, I really don't know on Watson. I'm kind of right down the middle on what I think will happen. If I had to guess today, I would say that he would not be back. But again, I'm basically 51-49 on that. I don't know anything, and I could be convinced either way. As for quarterback, I don't know what they're going to do because they have to, neither one of those guys showed much in the last half of the season. But I would say that if Zach Lee is the starting quarterback in September, that means that Cody Green has probably not developed the way that they want him to. And that probably means that Cody Spano, you know, isn't as good as they wished he was, or I don't think Tyler Gabbert can come in and start right away. If Zach Lee is the starting quarterback in September, I don't think that's a good sign for this program.
Dirk, I want to jump in there and say, didn't we absolutely, and I'll say this word on the air, absolutely piss away a redshirt for Cody Green? What a waste of a redshirt. He never got a chance.
What bothers me about Green, and we talked about it 4 weeks ago, I think you and I did, on it was probably about a month ago exactly, where I just didn't feel like they gave Green much of a chance. He played well in the first half against Baylor. You watch that game again, he played well. He played poorly in the second half. He played poorly in the first quarter against Oklahoma. And, you know, when they had the ball on the one-yard line, they pulled him out of the game. The other night, they put him in the game when they're on their own one-yard line, which is just as puzzling. But I just felt like Lee might have been a little bit better than Green. But I felt like if you gave Green the opportunity, you know, to get his feet wet and to get some confidence, I felt like he may have, you know, jumped past Lee pretty quickly. And I didn't feel like they really gave him that opportunity. And, you know, even the other night, I realize that's a really tough spot, but Zach Lee was playing about as badly as a quarterback can play. And, you know, they stuck with him. And I'm not saying that I would have done it differently, but I think it shows that they didn't really give Green much of a chance this season. And maybe, you know, they probably know more about this than we do, but either way you cut it, it's a bad sign for Nebraska's quarterback situation if Cody Green can't get past Zach Lee by next year.
Dirk Chow, there's so many more ways that Daddy's expressions while you're talking, because he's just about ready to jump out of the building agreeing with you. Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World-Herald joins us. And I guess this is a... this will be a discussion for another day, Tony, because I think Nebraska was in a position this year where they needed to win every week. And that's probably why they didn't pull the string so quick on Cody Green. We'll discuss
it. I'm just saying Zach Lee sucked every single game. He did not one good thing for this team.
We understand your point. We understand.
Oh.
Dirk, before we let you get out of here, quick thought on Arizona, the matchup that will be, the game that will be, and any benefits, pro or con, to that for Nebraska as they get ready for the Holiday Bowl.
Well, Arizona's pretty good, I think. I think the Pac-10's pretty good this year. So Nebraska's going to, you know, they're going to have a tough time in that game, especially if they're not able to move the ball very well. So I don't know. I mean, you know, the storyline is again, going to be Pelini and Stoops. And, you know, Bo going against Mike Stoops and also Mark Stoops, who's, you know, Mike's younger brother out there who is the Stoops brother that Bo is closest to personally. So you're going to get a lot of that. I think Nebraska's defense will probably play well again. I think the offense will probably struggle again, and I would be very surprised if it's not a close game in the fourth quarter.
Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald. Dirk, we're backed up against it. Dirk, by the way, has Sean Watson personally called you this fall?
No, he hasn't.
Well, I find that interesting. I mean, you know what? Everything you've had has been backed up with stats, and I think the stats have been great all year long. I don't know how many hours of research you had to do to come up with those stats, but it's just been pinpoint on, and I enjoy following your work, and we'd love to have you on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, we'll do it again. We're backed up against the break. Thanks, Dirk, so much. Dirk Chatelain. You can get all his work on Omaha.com and the Omaha World Herald. We're backed up against the break. We've got to take a short break and be back to wrap things up after this.
All eyes are on the Ultimate Football Weekend in Miami, February 4th through 8th, and Phillips Norelco wants to send you there. Go to NorelcoMVP.com now to play football trivia. Weekly winners will compete in the Phillips Norelco Trivia Bowl at the ESPN Zone in New York, hosted by Mike Greenberg with special guest Mike Ditka. One big winner gets the trip to Miami. Go to NorelcoMVP.com to play. Also, be sure to check out the complete Phillips Norelco lineup so you can shave like a pro with the number one electric razor. NorelcoMVP.com. Play now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Go to NorelcoMVP.com for official rules.
Hey, that stack of money over there with the googly eyes, is that the money you could be saving with Geico?
It's the money I am saving with Geico. He helped me buy this pool table.
Nice. So what else does he do? Can he tell jokes?
Seriously, Kevin, he's a stack of money. He doesn't tell jokes. He just blinks and buys me stuff.
Well, I just thought...
Money can't talk. That's ridiculous. Why do you always take it too far?
Me?
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, folks, this is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners, Adelphi Heating and Air.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
A wind chill advisory remains in effect for the area early on yet today. Otherwise, look for partly sunny skies to develop with a high temperature around 8 degrees. Winds out of the northwest will stay at around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll drop back to around 10 below. I'm Paul Trombley.
Right now, 2 below.
Doug and Daddy Show, another jam-packed edition. Tomorrow, Noah Keller joins us. Joe DiMeo joins us. Andy Reid has re-upped through 2013. When they announced that this morning, Coach of the Eagles, I just went, what? I mean, this is a guy that every year they think they're going to fire. And so since we haven't heard that this year, and they're not killing anybody, they've been injured. All of a sudden, just out of nowhere, Andy Reid gets a 3-year extension.
Well, you mentioned Joe DiMaggio coming up tomorrow, Doug. You look at Clinton Portis, gone for the year. Steve Slayton, out for the year. Brian Westbrook, gone for the year. A lot of things going on, and you bring up Andy Reid. Brian Westbrook.
Amazing that I don't have all three of those on one roster. Grant Wistrom and Larry Station. Last night was the ceremony going into the College Football Hall of Fame. Larry Station, as we mentioned, the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame earlier today. He's a member of that, went to Iowa. He is the only player in Iowa history to lead the team in tackle all 4 years. Of course, he was also outstanding in track in Omaha. And, of course, then you got Grant Wistrom, who won 3 national titles. Huskers went 49-2 those 4 years. 49-2. Those were the days, my friend. Those were the days. I guess that should take us pretty much to the end of the program today. Kind of a strange story, Nebraska volleyball getting ready for the Sweet 16 on Friday. They've got an oral commitment from a young lady named Lara Dykstra out of Redondo Union High School near Los Angeles. She's going to be a junior, class of 2011. Or she is a junior, going to be class of 2011. She played on the 2008 Youth World Beach Championships and has already played on the AVP Tour. Yeah, she's like kind of unprofessional.
Doesn't get paid? I was just going to say, get paid to do that.
And she's, who's playing beach volleyball professionally at that age or so well at that age? But she's 5'11". She's not, the next 6'6 best player in the country, but they think either libero or an outside hitter when she comes in. Hey, we want to thank our guest today, Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World Herald, UNK wrestling coach Mark Bauer, and, of course, Bob Jensen to join us about the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame.
And I'll reveal this right now. Daddy's got a new man crush, and it's not Steve Sipple, Dirk Chatlin.
Whoa.
Man crush.
I'll get Sip on tomorrow. We'll take care of this right
man
now.
Man crush.
You and Dirk sitting in a tree scooping snow together. We're out of here. See ya.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!